Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you once again for tuning in to the PRF Table. I'm your host, Minister Dunlap, and we're excited once again that you've come to a place where you have the freedom to listen and or participate in this open and honest conversations about possessions, resources, and finances. Now, some of you may ask, why the need for this conversation? I said this last week, or on the last show on January 1st, and then my response is still the same, brothers and sisters. I like to say, look around at where you eat, look around at where you play, where you work, and where you sleep. What are the challenges that you see? What is it that you hear? What is it that you're saying? What is it that people are fighting over and about when it comes to finances and money and resources? One of the things I know is that many of you will agree with me and with us that constructive, respectable dialogue, honest conversations about possessions, resources, and finances are really needed in our communities, in our churches, religious organizations, and also even within our own families. And I think that's the greatest need for this type of conversation. So from conversation, what we do is move from dialogue, and from dialogue we can move to some successful practical applications that actually have purpose behind them. So let's just begin our time together with the spirit of fellowship, unity, and liberation. Tonight we have two, I'm going to just call them co-hosts. They're not guests anymore. We have Sister Adia Sanders and Reverend Brother Warren Feaster. So how y'all doing this evening?
Doing great.
I am doing great.
You know, I just really want everybody to know that, you know, how we do it here at the PRF Table. And, you know, we try to tell everybody has a seat at this table. And I think we established this from the beginning when we first transitioned from Freedom Radio with Kimberly Skeen, where I was a co-host, to what God has allowed me to do with the PRF Table. So we try to tell everybody, and really want everybody to understand, that it doesn't matter whether you're black or white, rich or poor, you know, talking spiritually or physically, saved, unsaved, Jew or Gentile, Christian or not, you know, everybody has a place at this table, because there's a lot of people that have a lot of questions, have a lot of feelings about a lot of things regarding possessions, resources, and finances, even if they don't use those terms, and don't feel like their voice is actually valuable. So for those who have sat at this table before, I pray and believe that you've also been able to see that this is not just a radio show, but it's also a community where everybody has the opportunity to feed, eat, and serve. And so with that, you know, let's just go ahead and get started with the show. I think we have a very good show lined up for everybody. Tonight's show is about needs versus wants. And one of the things that I was telling Brother Feaster and Sister Sanders was that we may not get to the wants part. This show, from what I'm feeling and with the responses that I've been seeing online, we may just really get stuck in a place of talking about needs. And to be honest, that's okay. So, Brother Feaster, you ready?
I am ready.
Sister Sanders, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. So what we want to do, we want to remind everybody that if you want to join into the conversation, and we'll open up the phone lines in a few minutes after we get the dialogue started. And if you want to make a comment or a question, and we'll be posing some questions out there as well, all you have to do is press 1 on your dial pad. When you press 1 on your dial pad, we'll see you on the switchboard, and then we'll bring you into the conversation. And what we want to do is really encourage everybody to join in on the dialogue. It's not just about us talking about other people's stories or testimonies or what God has done for us, but it's also about you being able to bless other people by telling your story about what God has done for you, what God has done through you, and even releasing God to do what he wants to do for you in the future. So with that being said, let's just get right into it. Brother Feaster, Sister Sanders, many people in today's time are really in need these days. and a lot of people's needs are not being met. So in my opinion, and we'll just bounce this around as we always do, it's my opinion that this is really an epidemic and God isn't pleased. So let me just throw this first question out here. What are some of our options? You know, people's needs aren't being met. We see it all around us. At least I see it all around us, around me. I see it in my community. I see it in my city. I see it in my church. So that's what I want to start off with. What are some of the options for, you know, people's needs being met? And what do you think some of the reasons behind people's needs not being met around in your context, Brother Feaster?
It's interesting that you say that because I remember when I was real young, and this is one of the many lessons my mother taught me, and she began to explain to me what the difference is between a need and a want. The area is so gray right now that we mix our needs up with our wants and our wants up with our needs. And I think that right, I mean, this session right here, with our topic of discussion, if God continues to go the way he's going, it would help us to better understand the difference between a need and a want. A lot of times we have those mixed up, and that's the reason why we're more in need and we have a lot of our wants fulfilled. So I believe it's just a misunderstanding of a need and a want. And if we could get a better understanding of that, then that would help us be able to satisfy our needs and then on occasion be able to fulfill our wants.
All right. Sister Sanders, what do you have for this opening part of the discussion of the show?
I think the reason why people's needs are not being met, well, let me back up. I totally agree with Brother Feaster, but I want to just add another bit of, I guess, of insight to that, or another turning point for that is that for believers, if a need is not being met, I really think that sometimes we need to look at what system we're believing in. Because if we're believing in the world system to meet our needs, then as believers, then our needs are not going to be met. And I don't mean believing in the world system like, you know, if I go to work for 40 hours, then I'm going to get my check. If you go to work for 40 hours, they're going to pay you. But I mean the world system of, you know, you got to have the big house. You got to have the big car. And it's so stuck on materialistic things that people begin to believe that those are what their needs are, that every 3 years, I need to trade my car in to get another one because I need it, because I put too many miles on this one. Not looking at the fact that the car is still going to go and probably for another 50,000 miles, but we feel like we need to do something because of the world system. And I think also when we compare ourselves to others and we see what other people have, not knowing what their struggle is, not knowing what their financial situation is, not knowing if they were given an inheritance of money from a family member that died, or if they had endured a car accident or had some type of suffering or affliction to their body, so where they got a huge settlement of money, that we just see what other people have and we feel like I need those things. And so I just wanted to add, you know, not only if believers don't have what they need, it's because they're living off of the wrong system.
Mm. Wow. I hear your mind thinking, Brother Feaster. I heard that in the background. What's on your mind?
I'm listening to her, and it's interesting because I use the world system. I mean, my major is relationships. I'm studying to be a marriage and family therapist, and I really want to be, my ultimate goal is to be a marriage counselor.
Okay.
And one of the things that I talk about, and how this ties into what we're talking about, finances, possession, resources, one of the things that I always talk about is the competition that the world system puts on a relationship, on a marriage, on a husband, on a wife. The competition is, if I gain 20, 30, 40 pounds, now I'm competing up against everybody on TV is of slender figure, is of you know, muscular build, is dark, light skinned, tall, with hair, not with hair. I mean, so the marriage is competing against what the stars look like, because that's what the world system says that a man should look like, and even our behavior and our mannerism. So I am, and I mean, when she said that about the world system, I begin to tie that into my what I major in, but I can see it from a need and a want aspect also, because the world does. I mean, like I said a couple of sessions ago, when we talk about commercials, the word advertisement comes from a Latin word meaning to turn, meaning an advertisement is designed to turn your attention to whatever it is that they're sponsoring, Coke, Pepsi, IBM, Microsoft, whatever it is. And with TV, it's designed to do the same way. So now we're focusing on a lot of things that we think we need because the commercial, because the movie, because the media, because this artist, because this movie star has said, I should be like this. And so we're competing against, we're keeping up with the Joneses. I use that cliche. We're keeping up with the Joneses. And because we're trying to keep up with the Joneses, what happens is we forget about, I'm a feaster. I mean, I can never keep up with the Joneses because I'm a feaster. I was born a feaster. I'm going to die a feaster. And as long as we try to keep up with this world system, the world has no care for me. Coca-Cola wants your money. Pepsi wants your money. Coke and Pepsi are competing for your money. So even the actors and actresses and the movie stars and the game shows and the games and, you know, Xbox and PS2 and Wii, everybody's competing, and they're saying, I want you to be like me. You got to be like me. If you're not like me, you're wrong. So then, I mean, and what she's saying, man, it just took me somewhere. Because another reason why we get our needs and our wants mixed up, because now we think, like in the 70s, I need to be like Billy Dee Williams if I want to be a man. So I that's where I was going when she was talking. I began to think about, you know, like I was saying, if we understand the difference between that need and that want. I teach my daughter that the government says I have to give you a place to stay, education, and medical, and clothe you. That's what the government says. Legally, that's what I am obligated to do. So clothing you means I have to give you shirt and everything, pants, undergarments, shoes, jacket, coat. It doesn't say I got to give you Tommy Hilfiger. It doesn't say I have to give you Polo. It doesn't say I have to give you any of these name brands. It says I got to give you a shirt. I got to give you pants. Mm-hmm. And so instead of thinking my need is Polo, my need is Nautica, my need is, let's go back a couple of years, cross colors. No, baby, your need is a coat. Your need is a shirt. And so that's what when she was talking about, that's where I was going. You know, understanding that need and that want is amazing. I mean, the media and society is definitely, you know, a major, I'm going to say a major distractor, because they're competing for our money, so it's a major distractor in what we want out of our children, our family, out of even ourselves. And I'm gonna stop right there because I can take the rest of the show on that.
Well, you know what? Let me throw this out here as well. You're talking about the difference between needs and wants. So let's just go ahead and define what needs are, and I know you've done it, but some people may not have been listening. Needs, very simply put, is food, shelter, and clothing. That's it, food, shelter, and clothing. The wants is exactly what Brother Feaster said. If food can be Vienna sausages or it can be steak. Shelter can be a 3,000-square-foot house or it can be a two-bedroom apartment. Here's where we're talking about, where do people get in trouble? What is it that we're seeing, and how can we actually try to help people to be able to see the distinction between the two. And the reason I ask that, because we're all about helping people. We're about helping ourselves and about helping others. I think a lot of times, and I'm sure I've been there as well, and as one who's taught on finances, you know, I've had a lot of experience in this area. When we see individuals that are out there, and these individuals have a lot of things, and then these individuals get into some type of financial trouble, I've never heard of anybody doing what we said when we were talking about 2 Kings chapter 4. You know, hey, you have this extra whatever it is, maybe you can sell this and get the money that you need to take care of your bills. We want to really deal with, you know, some of the practical things, and I think everybody should have a good understanding now that needs are food, shelter, and clothing. The problem that I'm seeing is what individuals determine to be needs versus what individuals determine to be wants. So let me put a plug in right there, because I think we have a caller that's on the line. Caller is calling from last 41504. Did you have a question or a comment that you'd like to add? You're on the air.
It's just a comment, sir. It's a blessing to be able to come in and share with you. This is Elder Tony D. McClure. And so far, just being able to listen, it truly has been a blessing. But one of the things that I had to really see within this needs and want, whatever you need, God got it. So many times we are in a shown up need, we go to people thinking that they can help us. Now let me say this, that it's okay that we can go to people, because many times they may be able to help us. But I want you to know this, when we're going to people, they'll feel that there is some type of debt that we owe them, because they was able to help us and feel like if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be able to have what we needed. And then they begin to start telling you business and going on and on. But one of the things that I found out, I know a man that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask and think, turn the situation around, cause you to be blessed and highly favored. And what I love about God, you know, we don't have to worry about him telling our business. For the scripture says, if we ask, we shall receive. If we knock, the door shall open. If we seek, we shall find. There are many people that's hurting right now, living life on life terms concerning the economy that we're living in. But I believe we're running more to the government and to people instead of running to God. If we get to the point of being able to pursue God's purpose, every need, every desire, and every want shall come to pass. So where I am today with the needs and the want, I don't have to have what the Joneses have. Mm-hmm. If I'm just comfortable being able to do the will of God and to be blessed, I'm okay. But right now, my heart goes out to people that's in need and want. That there's a lot of the hurricane situation, the deaths of many people. I mean, many people are hurting. But that's I believe where I am right now, my point is to be able to point people to God, because he's got everything that we need. That's it.
Brother Ellie, well, before you get off the line, can you share with the listeners, you know, where did that come from about, and I'm going to try to recall what you said. You said something about, you know, going to people and people telling your business. Is there a place that you've been in your life where, you know, where you've come to the church looking for help and the church did not help you, or you went to some individuals who would say they're kingdom folk or church folk or Christians, whatever label they would like to use? And was there some disappointments that were there that would cause you to say, you know, hey, we really shouldn't go to people, because let me just focus on going to God?
Well, I mean, I've been on both sides of the fence. I've had to even, first of all, to go to family.
Okay.
And though family, we should be as one, but family can be rough sometimes. You can be in a need and go to family, and you'll find out that you'll have people in the street will help you before family will. On the other hand, I went to friends, and they couldn't be able to help, and knowing that they could, but they wouldn't. But also, as a man of God, I went to the church to ask for help. And I believe, for me, I always say this, that there's church folks and there's Christ folks. There's some folks in church just being able to go to church, seeing what people got on, seeing what people wearing, and so on. But then you got some Christ folks, as simplifying, that want to be able to love and to help as Jesus. But I've been, you know, hurt on each side of the corner. And most of all, where the hurt comes from is not when you go into privacy and you discuss what's going on or what's your need, they'll begin to make it public. That's where the hurt comes from. And I think a lot of us, you know, that has experienced that hurt, not so much with family and friends, but with the church. So for me, a lot of times, it's hard to be able to go and ask people for things. So my prayer is that I just go to God, and with that, that God may direct somebody to be able to come and be a blessing. Because I was sharing with my wife a few days ago that I want to be in a place that I can be a blessing to people. I don't have to know their business, but because all the hell that I've been through in my life, sometimes we can see people going through. You don't have to know their business, but you can see that they're going through because you've been right there yourself. And I want to be in a place that God can be able to help me to bless somebody. It's not so much financially, but just being able to share a word of encouragement. Saying I love you right now in these last days can make a difference in somebody's life. Because many people are ready to give up, ready to throw the towel in. We need each other these days. And quit focusing on so much of the things that we want to try to keep up with the Joneses. Some people just want to be able to live a life having food on their table, clothes on their back, and a roof over their head. People don't really care about not having all the nice things. And we're fortunate in America to be able to do that. But we watch a lot of television, we see people, man, that's dying of hunger and thirst, and we want to set up and live on top of the hill. Now, ain't nothing wrong with that. But let's not forget where we came from. And what God done did for us.
All right. Well, Brother Elder, we thank you for coming on. We thank you for sharing. We're going to toss it around, myself, Brother Feaster, and Sister Sanders. And if you want to come back on the air at any time, just let us know, brother, all right?
Amen. Bless to each
of you, brother.
Yes, sir.
Dear Brother Feaster, you know, now this is the first time that this brother has actually listened to the show, and we've only been on the air for a few minutes. And how much did he cover from what we've covered on the last 2 to 3 shows?
Yeah,
he covered a lot about the hurt that's there. We talked about hurt. You know, we talked about, okay, who can people go to? If you can't go to the church, especially as Christians, as believers, who else can we go to? And remember that pastor that communicated to me after the first show that we had on December 4th, he said, you know, what about, for those who were not able to listen to that show, he was talking about individuals within his church that he know needs help, but they won't come to the church. And that's where we explored that. So I encourage everybody to go back and listen to the show. All the archive shows are on Blog Talk Radio under the We Speak Radio Association. And you go in, you'll be able to see every last one of our shows, including the shows from Freedom Radio, which I'm able to co-host. So he said, a couple of things that I would like to say. He talked about confidence. We talked about that as well. You know, being able to know who you can go to, because people are not going to come to the church, and people are not going to come to those of us in the body of Christ to be able to get a help, be able to get assistance, a hand up, if they know we're going to talk about their business. So for those who didn't listen to the show, I'll bring out another point that we talked about. We talked about a safe place. Do y'all remember that? We have to create an environment. I think that's one of the things that we said to this pastor. We have to have an environment that has to be created. And if that environment is not created in your church, in whatever religious organization, even within your family structure, then people are not going to come and get the help. Sister Sanders, did you have any comments, Brother Feaster, that y'all wanted to bring behind this caller that really just threw out a lot of good information to us.
Well, I do, Nate, and one of the things that I kind of was looking at was Philippians 4:19. And, you know, I know we had talked about this. It was just saying that, you know, how God will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. But as I was reading this, I really believe in my heart that the Lord told me. He said, just look up and read a couple of verses before that. And so I went to Philippians to verse 12. And here you have Paul talking about, I know how to live. It's from the New Living. I believe this Bible. It's the New Living Translation, so it's a little bit different than your New King James Version. But it's just saying, you know, I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is a full stomach or empty, whether plenty or little. For I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. And I think it ties into to what the gentleman was saying, you know, about I understand why he was saying, you know, for us to go to God as our source, because sometimes when we've gone to people, they made us feel bad. They belittled us. They made us feel like, you know, why do you have this need? You know, but Paul says something that I think is so profound that no matter what state we're in, he said, I've learned to be content. And so when I can learn to be content with what I have, whether it's a lot or a little bit, whether I'm full or whether I'm hungry, then I can truly believe and live out verse 19 where it says that he'll supply all my needs. I got to first be thankful for what I have right now. And as I was looking at needs, one of the things that I was looking at, I said, well, what are some of the requirements for a person in order for them to know that they have a need? What's the requirement? And I really was just trying to just focus and meditate and concentrate on that. And a couple of things that came to me was that in order for me to know what the requirement is that a need, it requires for me to be obedient. And Paul was obedient. He said, because I've been in some places to where I didn't know where my next meal was going to come from. I didn't know where I was going to lay my head. But he was obedient to what God was calling him to do. And so I think that a need requires us to be obedient, to know that I don't need to have more than what I think. I may want something, but I don't need it because I have these four or five things right here. You know, the other thing that I was looking at was to do the right thing with what you have. That's what obedience is. It's just doing what you're supposed to do. I said it takes discipline because sometimes we can have a need, and the next thing you know, it turns into greed. And so we got to be disciplined that when God is supplying our need or what we may have right now is to be disciplined and to be appreciative of what we have and to take care of it. The other one I said was wisdom, to know what a need is and what verses are want. And Brother Feaster talked about that at the beginning, that we need to know what the difference is. And so that takes wisdom, and it's in the Word of God that if you ask, he said he'll give it to you liberally. He'll give it to you without no hesitation as long as you believe that that's what you that he's going to do it. I said it requires a sacrifice. For a season. Sometimes we don't want to sacrifice because we're too busy looking at the world system. We're too busy thinking about what people are going to think about us if we don't have the things that they have. So for a season, we got to be able to sacrifice because some people may have experienced a traumatic experience. They may have had a loss, like the elder said, through a storm, through natural disaster. So their need at that time is just, I need food, water, and shelter. I can't even worry about a car because I don't even have food to eat right now. You know, some people may have had a loss due to negligence of themselves or others, things that were beyond their control, losing their job. And then, you know, knowing when you have a need to be thankful for what you have and being able to take responsibility. And so in our need, you know, I was just like, okay, Lord, I got all of that. But it was hard for me to understand what a need was, and so I began to. There's a song that Ernest Pugh sings which says, "I need your glory," and when I began to sing that song, I was like, "Man, when I it came to me, it was like It was something that I couldn't do without. That's what a need was. It's something that I just couldn't do with. So God, I need your glory. I need that. Because in his glory there's power, there's beauty, there's so much. And then there's a song that says, I need you like the flowers need the rain. And so when you look at the need, you know what I'm saying, you begin to see that when you look at a flower, that flower is not stretching its little petals towards the sun and crying out for the rain. It's just there, patiently waiting for something to happen. Go ahead.
Don't let me cut you off because you're on a roll. Go ahead.
And just the last part that I was going to say is, and if that flower should die because it doesn't rain, the one thing that I picked up from that was that there's a seed left behind from that flower. So though the flower died, a seed is left.
That was good.
And so it's going to keep going. What that flower did is it sacrificed. And it put a seed in the process so that it's going to produce a harvest. And so as I was looking at this, I said, you know what, God? I said, we so many times are so stuck on begging and pleading and not wanting to go to people and sometimes not believing, but we're not understanding that if we would just die like the flower, there's a seed and a harvest is going to be produced from that seed. And that's all I have right now. That's it right now.
That's it. You got more in you, but you just being quiet just because you felt you talked enough. So let me go ahead and do what we normally do when somebody come off like go off like you did. I just had to give you an applause. Brother Feaster, you
yes,
best not to speak over there, my brother. I can hear you.
It's hard coming behind her when she go off like that. I feel like a mushroom in a forest of sycamores when she go off like that. She is so profound when she does these things and say these things. I mean, it's just awesome. And I feel like I'm doing an injustice when I'm coming behind her. But I want to tag on to what she's saying and tie a little bit of what the elder was saying. Because I see, and by far, I am not saying, please, I don't want anybody to think I have arrived. I am just sharing what I have learned. And by the grace of God, I am still learning. So if I sound condescending, if I sound like I'm arrogant, you know, please understand the heart as opposed to, you know, the voice that you hear. I just get passionate, and it may sound like that. So I'm actually, if by chance it does sound like, I'm asking for forgiveness now, but I want to tie in something that he said in and a lot of what Sister Sanders was saying. And he was saying that God will give me everything I need. You know, and I am a firm believer. I'm going to add into that. I'm going to agree to that. I'm going to co-sign that. I'm taking that to the bank because over my years, God has proven that when I need, he has provided. And there was a joke that I heard a couple of years ago, and it was a lady that was living in his house and a flood was coming and the evacuation notice came. and people came by, and she said, no, the Lord is going to provide. And so the water came up. She had a two-story house, so the water came up to the first floor. So she on the second floor, and a guy come by in the boat. You need a rod? No, the Lord is going to provide. So then the water came up to the second floor, so now she's on the rooftop. And another boat come by, and you need a rod? We'll take it. No, the Lord is going to provide. So the water got over the roof, and the lady ended up drowning, and she's dead, and she's standing before God, and she said, Lord, I was believing in you, I was trusting in you, your word says you were provide, and I was just waiting on you to provide. And God said, well, I sent you three boats. And I heard that years ago, and it was so profound. And I think about a lot of times, and my brother, I'm not talking about you, I don't want you to think I am. A lot of times, God is going to provide for us through other people. I mean, the base scripture that we've been using, 2 Kings chapter 2, talking about, you know, Elijah and the widow woman. Second Kings chapter 4. She had to go to her neighbors to get more vessels. Now, if she didn't go to her neighbors to get other vessels, then she wouldn't have had the all the resources that God would have allowed her to. But my whole point in that was, if we're seeking God, God is going to tell us we understand that God owns the cattle on the thousand hill. We understand that, and God is going to lead us in a direction. And if by chance, and this is the side of faith that we really don't really, you know, I talk about it a lot, I'm learning about it a lot, but we really don't deal with it a lot. And if by chance God allows us to go through, number one, God is still God. And number two, God has a reason for allowing us to go through. If by chance I say, Lord, I need the money to pay my light bill. Lord, I need this job, and I don't get the job, and my life gets cut off. Number one, God is still God. And number two, there's a reason behind God not allowing you to get that job and your life getting cut off. God is in charge. He's in charge. And we serve a God that, you know, we serve a God that don't just pick me today and say, well, I'm just going to harass you and stress you out. No, we serve a God that everything he does, there is a person. And we seem to forget that a lot of times God allows certain things. Number one, first of all, for his glory. Number two, for us to learn who he is. And number three, so we can learn who we are in him. It doesn't matter if I don't. The three Hebrew boys stood on the word of God saying that I will not worship anything or anyone else other than God himself. And they were thrown in the fiery furnace. We go through Daniel, believe in God, trust in God, was thrown in the lion's den. You know, so God allows certain things that I have in our life. I mean, this was a post that I had on Facebook, you know, earlier this week. God allows things in our lives to happen to remind us that he is God. And if he is God, then he will direct us to where we need to go. And that may be other people. It may be other agencies. It may be that we lose out on the thing that we think we need.
Whew. You know what?
I'm going to stop right there.
Now, here's the deal. Brother Feaster, you said, how you going to come behind Sister Sanders? So now, how am I going to come behind you and her and the elder? Why y'all do that to me? This is supposed to be my show. Okay, let me throw something out there. Something that you said, Brother Feaster. And when I say that in jest, we all know it's not about that. It's about what God needs to bring through us to the people. One of the things that you mentioned was faith. And how many times have we heard faith without works is dead? That's
right.
In the book of James, for those who want to go and look up the scripture, James 2:17. So you got individuals that are in need. So individuals come to the church like Elder Tony was talking about, and church doesn't help. Then they go to the family, and the family acts kind of crazy. And then here's what I know happens when we don't help people to meet their needs. People are going to have turned to, and will continue to turn to things that are either ungodly or just make simply the wrong type of decisions to get those needs met. Let me tell you something. I've taught finances for several years. I've taught well over 100,000 students, okay, and been responsible for their personal financial management training. I've also seen from a former life professionally where people who get into different type of situations financially make different type of decisions that cause them a lot of heartache and pain. But what we want to kind of highlight, or what I want to highlight, is it's not just good enough to look at that situation. It's not just good enough to look at the fact that, okay, this brother doesn't want to come to the church, and then just say, oh, well, or I can't go to family, so I'm just, going to do whatever I want to do. Because what happens is, and what I've seen, my experience says to me that we're going to talk about folks. We're going to say, you know what, I don't know why such and such went and stole that money. I don't know why such and such went and robbed that bank. I don't know why such and such decided to sell crack or meth. I got to make sure I capture both demographics here. I don't know why they did that. They got a good family. That my his daughter or his father is a deacon, or his father is a pastor or a preacher, or his mama is, you know, his grandmama been in that church for 35, 40 years. We hear those things, but we don't remember. There's always a reason why people do things. So when we talk about praying, we have to pray in faith that God is going to do what God says he's going to do. What God said he's going to do is he said he's going to provide for us. That's a promise that we can live on. He said he will supply our needs. All right, so since faith without works is dead, I'm going to do like you, Adir. Let's go back a couple verses and let's really talk about what it was really talking about when it got to verse 17. So if you start off at verse 14 in James chapter 2, it says, you know, what good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you have, say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? So that first verse, or part of that first verse in verse 14, starts it off, but it also gets validated by verse 17. So let's deal with what's in the middle, the Oreo cookie cream, so to speak. Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye, have a good day, stay warm and eat well. And I can go and read this from a whole different bunch of translations. Goodbye, have a good day, stay warm, eat well, but then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? And so then we get the next verse, which says, so you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. Faith without works is dead. So if we have people out here that are struggling, the question is not about what they've done. The question is, what are we doing? Somebody just said they can't hear me. Okay. It's not about what they did or what they didn't do. It's about what we do and what we haven't done. Let me tell you something. I've ran into some people over the last. Can y'all hear me? Brother Feaster. Can y'all hear me now? Can y'all hear us? Good evening.
Are you still calling back?
Hello?